We're talking about commitment to the church, and I want to show you an example of a man that was very committed, but a man that grew bitter and had to be corrected at the end of his life. And he does humble himself and correct himself again, but a very dedicated and committed man to God. You remember the story of Job? In Job chapter 23, you might have thought I was going to talk about Jonah. He's another example of a man that ran from God initially and then corrects himself and commits himself to God's will and even says he must preach the bidding that God bid him to preach to the Ninevites. And of course, the whole nation repents, but Jonah will grow bitter at the end of that account because of the favor God had towards the Ninevites. And so that's an interesting one, but that's not my story. Job 23, Job is answering Eliphaz, his not so faithful friend from the previous context or chapter. And there's just a few passages here in this chapter that stand out. And I want to show you the perfect example of commitment in Christ. And so we're going to look at Job here, but then we're going to compare this to Christ. In Job 23, verse 1, Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me." Now he's talking about God here and his plea to God for all of his suffering. His friends are accusing him of being a sinner because of his suffering. And in this day and age, there was a modern philosophy that was in error, but it was nonetheless a modern philosophy. Many today still hold that philosophy that if you have problems in your life, you necessarily are a sinner. Well, that's not necessarily true. You may suffer the consequences then of other people. I don't consider myself a great sinner, though the world seems to be going crazy today. I'm trying to fight against sin. And yet I have to suffer in this world with the sinners of the world. And the consequences are real. Just go fill up your gas tank. I didn't cause that problem. But anyway, I'm going to suffer with y'all. But here's Job. He's pleading for his case to God. And he's very confident and very bold in his righteousness. And this, of course, is where he starts to go wrong towards the end of this book. And God will correct him for trying to vindicate himself. We get into trouble when we try to vindicate ourselves. But I would just try to point out here for you that notice again the commitment of Job. In everything he's saying, he becomes self-righteous, he becomes arrogant, he becomes again appealing to his friends and saying, "I am justified." And we have to be careful there how far we're going to take that and self-justifying ourselves. And he lost some humility here, but there's an amazing passage here that in this chapter that he makes. Again, back to Job 23. Look at, well, just notice verses 8 and following. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him, and he hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him." He's expressing great frustration with his inability at this moment in time to find God. But he knows God. He knows he's there because in the 19th chapter he says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth and I shall see him in the last days." But again, back to Job 23, look at verse 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take." He's appealing now back to the fact that God knows. "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Well, that's true, but he's going to have to answer pretty face to face with God here pretty soon. My foot hath held his steps. Now look at this confidence. His way have I kept and not declined. And I love verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And this just demonstrates the character of Job. This is a man like many of the faithful characters in the Bible that were told, like Joshua, to neither swerve to the left or the right. Right? You kids are studying that. And he is a man that does that. But Joshua himself makes some assumptions, and God will correct him on the occasion of the sin of Achan and so forth. But here Job again, I want you to see his confidence and his commitment to God. This is not a man that is turning his back on God, but this is a man whose confidence is a little misplaced, a little self-righteous. But verse 12 is an outstanding passage where he says of his character, and I think this is a foundational principle to why Job was a righteous man above all the men of the earth in Job chapter 1. And it's right there where it says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's the character of a Christian today. I was talking to the sister yesterday from El Dorado Church of Christ, and she was complimenting the preachers from us, from here that had been preaching. And she said one thing. She said, you can really tell that the preachers that y'all send or that are coming here, you can tell that y'all love the Word of God. She said that. And I said, well, I know the men that are coming, and I know I love the Word of God. It is my source of necessary food more than anything else. Now, I wonder about that other guy that comes, but nonetheless, they're probably seeing a difference. That's good. We need to keep it up. But I want to show you Christ now as I try to wind this down. Look at John chapter 4 for just a moment. As you consider, again, the perfect example of commitment to the church, we have to look to Christ. Job's an outstanding character, and we can learn much from him and his successes and failures. But Christ is one that had no failure. But look at the hardship and look at his yet motive in life. In John 4, verse 34, similarly, John 4, verse 34, as with what Job said, Jesus saith unto his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Look at John 5, verse 30, please. John 5, verse 30. Look at the character of Jesus. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Look at John 6, 38. In this context, look at this passage. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I find it amazing that Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. Look at John 5, verse 36. This is emphasis upon the actual works. The proof is in the pudding. John 5, 36, if you'll back up there, I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. The works, the cross is the greatest work that the earth will ever experience. And mark it down, it was a work of great power, but yet great, profound simplicity. By simply nailing a 100% human being and yet 100% deity, God in the flesh, to a wood beam to try to take him out. And yet the work of God would overcome that. And so he says here, greater than the works of John the Baptizer are the very works that I will do. The works. Those are evidence and testimony. Now watch the next couple passages. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. You don't believe me. But the works that I do, the words that I speak, they are truth. Look at verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I thought about again Job 23:12 and John 4:34, where both of these individuals said, the meat, their sustenance, my meat is to do the work, the will of the Father. Job said, the word is more important than my necessary food, my daily food. His words are more important to me. And that demonstrates commitment and character. Now, let me just finish the story with Jesus and show you. In John 17:4, he finishes the work, as he says. John 17:4, for your own confirmation, I have glorified thee on the earth. Jesus says, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And he does that. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. I'll try to make less commentary and just let the Bible speak here. But look at Hebrews 5 as we finish again the commitment of Christ. And we see his great suffering on our behalf. Hebrews 5 verses 7 through 9. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You see right there where Job didn't quite understand his suffering, and he was being accused by his friends as being a sinner, Jesus didn't have that same type of suffering. He knew why he was suffering, not because he was guilty of any sin here, but because he must go to the cross for all of mankind. Because in chapter 4, do you remember where it says there? In chapter 4, that Jesus committed no sin and yet was tempted in all points as we are in Hebrews 4:15. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, 27 through 28, and then chapter 12. Hebrews 9, 27 through 28, quickly. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are we committed to the Christ? You see right there, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment, and Jesus again is coming back, and we're to be looking for him. Are we committed to that? Look at chapter 12. We have a great example, a perfect example, an author, a finisher of our faith, who again sets the perfect pattern for us. Though Job knew there was a Redeemer, that's a great story in Job 19, and he again had the great sustenance of the Word of God in his life, he did not see the Christ like you and I see him today. So when we're talking about commitment to Christ, the whole book of Hebrews is about this very point. We have no excuse. God may have been a little bit more merciful to Job than he will be to you or me today. You might want to think about that, because we have the completed picture. You need to think about that. Hebrews 12, because they didn't have the author and finisher yet. He was coming. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, like Job, we have great witness in Job. He was faithful. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That's the sin of fear, unfaithfulness. In the end of chapter 3 of Hebrews, it tells us that the Israelites could not enter into the promised land because of their own unbelief. They became uncommitted. And they lost their focus, as you were talking about tonight in your class tonight. They were unfocused, and because of unbelief, purely unbelief, like the 10 spies, they just fearful, scared the people to death. And a whole nation, God says, you're not going in because of your fear, your unbelief. The Hebrews writer calls it the sin which doth so easily beset us. You need to be afraid of that. Easily besets us. So how do we get over this and stay committed? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, thought very little of the shame of the cross. He went forward, even though there was great shame through that, and yet he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the next passage says, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. There's commitment right there. What excuse will we offer in the day of judgment, having such a perfect story, a complete story, a powerful story, the gospel of Jesus Christ, where we have the example given? I'm sorry for preaching as long as I do, but I'm not sorry. Paul said that. I repent, but I don't repent. Because I love to preach the Bible. I love to preach the gospel. And I don't get very many opportunities here, but like this. So I've taken 20 minutes of your time. I hope it was full of Bible. And I hope you've been edified. And I hope you've been encouraged to be committed. Because commitment is what will save your soul. I'm so thankful that we get to come to 9th and Main and hear the Bible preached and taught seriously by every teacher and preacher. It's one of the things that is just, it's almost commanded here. It's just it's a spirit of reverence for God. And the sustenance of our daily lives is the Word of God. And that's what makes us unique. It's God. It's His Word. It's not me. It's not Mike. It's not anybody else. It's God. And that's what everybody else is missing. I wish I could tell you about my story today with the president of the school board of Christoval ISD and the principal over the subject matter of LGBTQ. It was a wonderful conversation, and I got to preach the gospel to them. And they said, yes, sir, we're going to fix this problem. I said, I hope you will. We can talk later, but if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want you to know that you have a way out of this world by repenting of your sins, knowing that there's a better place, a better plan, a better hope outside of this world that's eternal. This world's causing great woe and depression and anxiety if you only look to this world. But we're in the army of God. We're in His army. We're His soldiers. And we have great purpose. But if you're outside of that, you haven't obeyed the gospel, then you're lost. You don't understand that. But we're not lost. We're not of them that suffer like those in the world without hope. We have hope, and we suffer because of righteousness, because of Christ. We are committed like Christ was committed. If you want that hope, it's freely available if you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Christ before men publicly and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord will save you in this very hour. He'll add you to that army, the body of Christ, the church of Christ, to where now you can pick up your sword and you can follow the Master and be committed all the days of your life and know why you're here. So many people today don't know why they're here. It's a shame. But that's what we're here for, to keep preaching and teaching this message, to help them understand that great purpose, to be committed. If you need to respond to the invitation of the Lord, if you need prayers of the congregation, why don't you let us know then as we stand and we sing, won't you come?